for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2007 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday evening, December the 30th, 2007. Glenn Miller is the speaker of the evening, teaching on So You Want to Be a Manifested Son.
I'm a little diverse tonight, before we're finished. But, as I mentioned, I started about, last Memorial. It's when the Lord laid on my heart to write, and it'll be a fair-sized little booklet when I get through with it, with Judy's help. And the tentative title for it is, So You Want to Be a Manifested Son of God. Really? Now, over the years, I have been acquainted with most of the men of the charismatic movement, almost all of them. But before the charismatic movement, there was what was it called?
Letter Rain.
And out of this, the latter rain, were those who claimed that they were manifested sons of God. Anybody who claims such a thing is not and will never be. But I've had the privilege of personally knowing almost all of them. There are probably only one, maybe two, of those men of yesterday still living. God says that the sons of God. God says in Romans 8, Paul writes, the manifested sons of God, who I believe will exist on the earth and will be here to, you know, there has to be somebody to rule or there will be chaos. Even though all the saints are here, but they've got to have overseers. And a city has to have an overseer, a state has to have a country under the authority of Jesus. And so, manifested sons of God, there are some very strict requirements. And I wonder if you've ever thought about the requirements that God has for us or for anyone who even thinks of such a thing as being a manifested son of God. Those who do come on the earth with that authority will not claim to be such people. They will. It will be a stitch to them to be called that. They're just a servant of the King of Kings. But there are some very stringent requirements which also apply to you and me. all of that tonight. We're just going to look over kind of quickly so that you can think about it yourself and see where you're beginning to fall in to this category of the requirements of It Is Written. You see, this is the requirement here for every one of us. And we are obligated to study to show ourselves approved, a workman that is not ashamed. And that means digging out the itty-gritty and not saying, I don't believe it. Because if it's written in here, we either believe it or God's a liar. It's just how simple it is. Either it's truth, and if it's not truth, and it's in here, then God's a liar. Now that's pretty hard, but it's still a fact. So let's look at just a few, half a dozen scriptures along that vein. There are about over 500 that's in the scriptures relating to this. But we'll just look at a half a dozen and then go on. I'll start with Leviticus chapter 18. All of these markers I've got sticking all through my Bible are all in there about this subject, where I run across the scripture that I'm going to use or think about using, and I stick something in the pages so I can get back to it. Now, in Leviticus chapter 18, it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses. And it's kind of hard for people and preachers to preach and teach that what we're reading is Moses' law and not God's law. Because every time it says, God spake. So if God spake, then it's God's law. And he just told Moses to speak it to the people. Moses was the interpreter, the carrier of the message. It says, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am Yahweh, Jehovah, the Lord thy God. And after the doings of the land of sin, Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall you not do, neither shall you walk in their ordinances. You shall do my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk therein. I am the Lord your God. That is a straight commandment, unqualified. Do it. Kill him. a lamb or a goat or a heifer or a turtle dove or a pigeon or a sparrow, because it would be an abomination. It would be heresy, because Jesus is our sacrifice. He was, and He is our sacrifice. And so, therefore, all of that, the moment Jesus said it's finished, was eliminated forever. But it still carried on some afterward for quite a while, because until they come to an understanding, and actually it carried on until 70 AD, really, when the temple was destroyed and it was discontinued. But even as much as Paul, who almost got caught up in it, and God stopped Paul. Because remember, they had told him to go in the temple and take a Nazareth vow, and to shave his head, and to join the others who were in there taking a Nazareth vow. And he would have discredited the Lord Jesus if the Lord hadn't caused a riot and got him out of there. Because the next thing was a sacrifice. And he was in there, and he knew better, but the congregation around him had persuaded him, and he fell for it. So, but sacrifices are eliminated, and they're not part of what I'm talking about. That is not. So, this 18th chapter goes on, and it is a chapter of the ordinances and commandments of the Lord concerning the families and all types of sexual sins, this chapter. And it's all in the force today. And if the homosexuals say that God did away and His love allows them, they're deceived and they're living in an abominable sin. And it's the same with the lesbians. For God says, that is an abomination to Him. Bestiality, God said. And it all carries a 10-generation curse. And the devil likes, and it is his job, for his demons to reproduce it in the family line before the 10th generation runs out. So if he can, it is really perpetual, because it's over and over and over, perpetual. And in that frame. I had another thought about it, but it slipped away. So let's go over to Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 14. He says, "But if you will not hearken unto me, and will not do all of these commandments." Now that's not talking about the 10 commandments. That's talking about all the things prior to right here that we find in Leviticus up to chapter 26. "And if you shall despise," the word despise means to make light of. "So if you shall make light of my statutes, or if your soul shall abhor my judgments, so that you will not do all my commandments, but that you break my covenant." Now you notice there, we've got statutes, we've got judgments, we've got commandments, and we got covenant. "I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, burning ague, and it will consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart. You shall sow your seed in vain, your enemy shall eat it, and I will set my face against you." Study between the book of Leviticus see how many things that you can find that you have done that might cause God to set his face against you. It's very serious. But you see, we've been taught. Tradition has taught us and taught me that all of this doesn't apply to me today. God said that his word doesn't change.
Amen.
Not one tittle changes. In Deuteronomy 4, it says, "Now therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God gave to your fathers, giveth you. You shall now add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you." Turn over with me to John, 1 John chapter 5. Keep your finger in Deuteronomy. We're coming back. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. "For this is the love of God, that you keep his commandments, for his commandments are not grievous." Oh, Brother John's writing that we're to keep the commandments of the Lord. Well, let's go back to Deuteronomy. I hope you kept your finger there. And again it says, "And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the judgments which I speak in your ear this day, that you may learn them and keep them and do them." And nowhere does it ever say that God changed his mind. Chapter 12, the last verse, 32, it repeats the same thing. The book of Revelation, chapter 18 and 19, says the same thing. "What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it." Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations, and repayeth them that hate or disobey his word to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him, he will repay him to his face." Revelation 22, verse 13. "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, or my commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs," a dog in the Bible is a homosexual, "sorcerers, warmongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh the lie." And some say that pride is the lie. "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the church. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the spirit of the bride say, Come. Let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will." I thank God that I'm a whosoever.
Amen.
Amen. "Let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book." And I've been reading the words of this book. prophecy. God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things that are written in this book. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. So, it'll take me a while to accomplish what I've set out to do. But if you aspire to become a son of God, and I trust that everybody does, you should. It should be a desire of your heart. Then you will study to show yourself approved so that you have in your heart, pass your head in your heart, what God says he requires of us. Now, some things are real simple. They're so simple that unless we think about it and that's ingrained in me, but even then sometimes I forget about it. It's so simple. And because a doctor in Europe saw this back in the late 1700s and put it into practice, he was made fun of because he saw what the word said, and he demanded that everybody in his hospital put it into practice, and it immediately stopped over half of the deaths of women giving birth to babies. Wash your hands. Simple. But yet, God says, when you go to the bathroom, wash your hands. And when he saw that, he was made fun of. But he demanded that everybody in the hospital wash their hands every time they went to a different patient. And back in that time, over half of the women were dying from childbirth from infection. And it was because it was carried by hands from one woman to the next. So simple, yet how rebellious we are. And then there are lots of other things that the Lord says that we're to do. And I believe, now the Swensons, they saw here a few years ago how God said to farm. And we saw that when we came here. And the Bible tells us that we're to farm 6 years. In the seventh year, you're not to farm it. And you're to plow it all under. Fertilize it. Plow it under. And you will increase. Now, they started doing that quite a while back. And their crops are getting better than they were when. Well, of course, because God said, if you do it, he'll supply for the next year. And then when the 50th year comes around, it's supposed to be 2 years. Well, generally, when that happens, Grandpa's old and the kids are young. When that 50th year comes around, but God says to do it. Well, our farmland today is in terrible shape. Terrible. Use all kinds of fertilizers on it to try and make the stuff grow. Well, why? Because we have disobeyed the commandment of the Lord. And, you know, he doesn't ask us if you want to do these things. He says, do them. So we need to study to see what they are so that we do it because we want God's blessing. You shouldn't do it because you feel you have to do it. But you should. You do have to do it. But we should do it because we want God's blessing. Now, there are many, many, many precepts here that God says that we're to obey. And you need to read them and study them. And if you've disobeyed them, and most of us have disobeyed some of them, we need to say, Lord, forgive me and help me not to do that again. And forgive me, Lord, forgive me that I can obey your word, that I can keep your word. Keep it, Lord, because I want to. Because I see that you say, and I want to do what you want me to do, Lord. So, you need to study it with that attitude. Not studying to see what I have to do. Oh no, that's wrong. That's wrong. Don't do that. Well, okay. We will look at another thing. Things for a little while. A friend of ours that lives in South Africa, Bob and Thelma Trench, they've been here many times in past years. He's in South Africa, he owns the largest plumbing wholesale house in all of South Africa. His main office is in Durban, but he covers all of South Africa. And he's a multi-millionaire in South Africa, but he can't take the money out of the country. No, he's allowed. They're allowed $5,000 to travel out of the country. So $5,000 today with the price of plane fares don't go too far. But they've been here several times, and he's a Scotsman, and he was schooled in London, and went to school with the Queen Elizabeth's secretary, who is a man. He went to school with him, and he goes back to London three or four times a year for business. Well, he tries, if possible, to have lunch with this man because they were college friends. And one time, about 5 or 6 years ago, he was having lunch with him, and he said, "When's the Queen going to turn the throne over to Charles?" And he looked at him and he said, "She's not." He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "She doesn't intend to ever turn the throne over to Charles. If it comes to it, it will be Charles' oldest boy, but she will never give it to Charles." Now, to understand that, you've got to know all the things that Charles involved in, besides the problems with the women. That's minor. So he said, "Well, what?" He said, "She's at that time she wasn't the oldest yet, but she's almost the oldest reigning monarch. Now, of course, now she is. Nobody has reigned longer than her. But he said, she told me that she intends to live until she can present her scepter to the Lord Jesus when he returns." Now, the kings and queens of the lineage of David have ruled Ireland and Scotland and England, and their lineage comes from Adam down through Judah and David and on down until today. Now, Jeremiah the prophet took his two great-granddaughters and went to Egypt with them, and then he went to Spain and went up the, I can't think of the Eber, I think it's the Eber River, which runs across northern Spain and almost to the coast. And back in the days when Moses took the children of Israel out of Egypt, a part part of the tribe of Judah. The other side of the twins went to Spain, and they went up the river, and central and northern Spain is almost all the cities in there are named after, have Hebrew names mainly related to the tribe of Judah. And the main city in there, they founded, and almost all the people that live in central and northern Spain and part of France are all descendants of Judah. And now this is history. You can read it in history. And Jeremiah went up with Baruch and his two great-granddaughters, who were the king's daughters. And when he got up there, he married the one girl to the prince of Judah in Spain. And he went on to Ireland, he and Baruch and his party, and the other granddaughter went on to Ireland, and there he married her to the prince of Ireland. And there is a statue in Ireland today to the white-haired prophet who came and brought the princess Teopia. And Irish history explains all of this. They don't write it as a theory. It is their history. Now, I'm saying that to say this, because God told David that a descendant of his would sit on the throne forever, and a descendant of David has sat on the throne ever since, from David to this day. And and you can find this in some of the encyclopedias, and of course it's this is taken from the history in Westminster Abbey. This is where this came from. And in the back of this book, Judah's Scepter, Judah's Birthright, is the lineage from Adam. Every king and queen or person that's ruled. Abraham, Adam, Seth, Enos, Canaan, Michelle, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah, Shem, clear down until David, and then on down to Jeremiah, went to Ireland, and there where he married them together over there. And he comes down and lists everybody's here but Queen Elizabeth in this lineage. Her father is here. Her father is here. Her great-grandmother, Queen Victoria, is here. They're all here. And you see, God's word is sure and true. And it isn't a happenstance. God told David somebody would sit on the throne until Jesus came to take up the throne. Now, Jesus came. We didn't come as king. He came as our Redeemer. The next time he comes, he's come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So, God's word has to be sure. Somebody has to be on the throne of David until Jesus comes. And I hope that is Queen Elizabeth, because that's her desire. Our desire is to give the scepter to Jesus. Now, there is a lot in history that there are quite a few books over there that are history and or carry history. But about 4 years after Jesus ascended, Joseph of Arimathea, who was his uncle Mary's brother, who was a seafaring man and one of the most wealthiest men in the world at that time, took, I should have looked here, took Mary Magdalene, Martha, and Mary, the mother of Jesus. Anyway, that was the 12 or 13 that went to England at that time, and they never returned. They stayed there. Joseph built a colony, the king gave Joseph a land grant. I forget it's... anyway, the king gave Joseph a land grant. I think it was called Five Hides. I think. Anyway, land over there is known by hides and not by acres and sections. And that land is still tax-free to this day. That piece of land is still tax-free. And Joseph built a colony there. And they are in excavating this place for 4 or 5 years, and they hope to rebuild this colony that Joseph built for them to live in. It had a church in the middle, and then it had a circle around it. It had what they called wattle houses. They were made out of dirt and reeds. And they had a point of top. There's a drawing here of what they thought it looked like. But they're working to rebuild this. Then at one time, where Mary was buried over there, they had a church built over her grave. And back during the wars in the 1500s, 1300s, in there, this church got burnt down. And the present queen has had a monument rebuilt over her grave. And also the grave of Joseph of Arimathea. They have his sepulcher, his tomb. Here's a picture of it here. Joseph's tomb, his grave. But you see, these things are history. It's not hearsay. It's historical facts. We've never been taught these things, even though it has always existed. History has always been available. But we've been brainwashed by tradition. The main thing that started brainwashing us first was the vision of Mary MacDonald back in the 1830s of the so-called rapture. And it was taken, the vision was taken, and nothing wrong with her vision. Vision's fine. But the way it was twisted by Darby and the others of that day, and they concluded out of it the so-called secret rapture. Now, basically those who believe and teach that are basically Baptists and Pentecostals. Other denominations do not teach that or even believe it. But then along another heresy that came along in about 1880 was when the Zionist organization was set up. And we've been brainwashed by the Zionist organization that the people called Jews are the lost tribes of Israel and they're God's chosen people, which is demonic. It is not true. They are not God's chosen people, and they are not Jews. They go by the name of Jew, but they are Khazars. They are of the lineage of people known as Khazars. And there's a book over there called The 13th Tribe, which is their history book. It's written by one of their historians for them of their history. And Satan has brainwashed us through Zionist organization to believe. Now, Henry Ford stood against that. And Henry Ford spent several million dollars. I did have Henry Ford's life, and I'm out of them. I need to get some more. But Henry Ford spent several million dollars to prove who and what the Zionist organization was, and who started it and why. And in the middle of it, one of his vice presidents that he wasn't aware of came into his office one day, who was a Zionist Jew, or a Zionist Khazar, and told Brother Henry, he said, because he owned the Dearborn Press in Michigan. Henry Ford owned the Dearborn Press, and every week for several weeks he'd been printing these articles about the Zionists and who they were and what their goal was and all about them. And one of his vice presidents stepped in his office one day and said, don't you print another article in the newspaper about Zionism. He said, if you do, your oldest child will disappear. And you can read that. It's in his story. And he said, and then if you continue, your next child will disappear. And he turned and walked out the door. And he meant it. He meant it. So, Brother Ford had no recourse but to discontinue publishing it. But he did put it in book form, and it's available. So anyway, all of these things we're ignorant of. And I stand up here and talk, or go to a Baptist church, or Higgies down in Dallas, I'd be run out on a rail, and they'd stone me to death before I got to my car. That's true. That would happen. They don't want to know the truth. They prefer to be blind. Blind leaders of the blind. But these truths have been around forever. They're not something that's hid anyplace. These truths are around. Now, there are lots of scriptures in the Bible that tell us who God's people are and that. I want to read to you, but I want to read what. Well, I want to read something else, and I can't remember what it was at the moment. But it'll be all right. But you know, many times in the scriptures, the scripture says that this is perpetual throughout all your generations, perpetual. So if you try to say that eating of blood is done away with, what are you going to do with the rest of the verse that says is perpetual throughout all your generations, that you never eat blood or fat? But you say, oh, I can do that. Well, God's word says it's perpetual that you can't. And God don't change. Peter's vision, God did not change his word with Peter's vision. God did not change his word when Paul said that he could pray over something and it was clean and he could eat it. Read the scripture and see what he's talking about. He's not talking about pork. He's not talking about shrimp and catfish. Do you know what he's talking about? How many of you know what Paul's talking about? Half a dozen hands. Paul was confronted because in his day, when they killed a chicken or a beef or a goat or a sheep, in some places, in some of the heathen places, they caught the blood and went and offered it to their heathen god. And they confronted Paul and said, why are you eating that meat? because after they did, the meat hung in the public market, and everybody bought it. See, it went cut off what they want. Same down in Toluca, Mexico. It makes me sick in my stomach, dude. I see chickens stacked up like cordon, 3 and 4 feet high, that were black. Black. And the blacker it gets, the more money they get for them. And they're immune to ptomaine because the immunity's in their blood. If you and I ate that, we'd be sick with ptomaine for a month. But that's what it was. Or down there, they cut the meat up for you. It's laid out on a big table in the open, and they cut it up, and they'll sell you the tongue or the ears or the lights or whatever. And the flies are just swarming over it all, and nobody pays any attention. I tell you, I almost vomited before I could get away from there. But anyway, so that's what Paul was talking about. See, he could go to somebody's house or where they bought this meat that the blood had been offered to their heathen god, and he could pray over that meat and he could eat it. But he said, if it bothers my brother, if I eat that meat, I'll not eat it. You see, we need to learn to rightly divide God's word. And Paul isn't saying that he can eat pork. No way. And neither did Peter's vision. Did God say through Peter's vision that they could eat pork? Because what Peter saw on his vision, 3 times he saw it. And what he saw was all the heathen nations of the world. In that day, and still in our day, they had a standard. And on that standard was something that represented their clan. And the tribes on their standard, tribe of Judah had a lion. Other tribes had a donkey or a snake or a fish or something on their standard bearer, on their standard. And that's what Peter saw in his vision. He saw the standards that represented the heathen nations. And what happened when the visions were done? Just as soon as the visions were done, somebody comes and says, "Hey, Peter, there's 3 guys down here looking for you." 3 visions. Three men. But who were the men? They were heathens. But God just showed Peter that he couldn't call them heathens. He said, "Peter, go with them. Go on." And through that, the nations of the earth have a right to the gospel, just as everybody else. And that's what that represented, was that God was telling the apostles that the nations of the earth have a right to the gospel. And then Paul comes along, and almost all of Paul's preaching was not in Jerusalem, in Israel. It was out in the heathen nations. And in the Revelations, chapter 2 and 3, where the promise is given to the overcomers. There's 7 overcomers. And every one of those is to a heathen church in a heathen nation. At the gospel, Paul carried the gospel to the heathen nations. And so, see, Peter's vision, though, came, and Peter came back, and they called him on the carpet. And he explained it. You read his explanation. And he says, "Who was I to resist God?" Amen. So, I'm going to read Isaiah 18. To us. And Warren family, which some of you know about. I met John and Michael in 1965 in London, England. And then they have ministered in this pulpit many times and have stayed there. There's only two of the boys left, John and Simon. The rest have gone on to be with the Lord. But we've had the privilege to have Daddy Cameron in our home and all the Camerons. And they come from the Hebrides in Scotland. Have you ever heard of the Isle, the Hebrides Isles in Scotland? In the 50s, there was a great, great revival in the Hebrides. And the Camerons, not the children today, but Michael and Robert and Simon, and their grandparents came from the Hebrides. That's where they were. And back when, with the grandparents, the grandparents spoke Gaelic. Gaelic is almost a lost language now, but Gaelic is almost pure Hebrew. Almost pure Hebrew Gaelic. And that's what the Cameron's grandparents spoke. And then his folks spoke yes and no. And the kids, they understood it kind of, but they really couldn't speak it. So the lineage of the house of Israel is apparent many places in the earth, in Europe and all, as you study history. What we call Denmark, they don't call it Denmark. It's Danmark. Not Denmark, Danmark. And the Netherlands is part of their national anthem. It's Reuben. I've been thinking something about Reuben. And also in Germany, as far as we can tell by history, they are basically of Judah. And of course, Finland has always claimed that they're the tribe, not Finland, but Iceland, that they're the tribe of Benjamin. And today, as far as a pure people, Iceland is the purest people of the races that I know of that exist. Well, anyway, I want to read. Lord, I'm going to make my voice work. Amen. Well, I got one over here. I haven't found this that this really helps. So, after Brother Howard talked, I see a little possible difference in one verse in these seven.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.